Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to moccasin and Joe. Well, the party don't have out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Outstanding, folks. Super, super, super. Because if I let it get me down anymore like everybody else around the globe, they're stir crazy, they've got cabin fever, and they are lost. They don't know what to do. But guess what? The Bigfoot hunter sure as hell knows what to do. Because I'll tell you why. If you people, like so many of the people around the globe, have your collection of the Bigfoot movies, and our library has been eightfold plus, you never get bored of those things, I'll tell you. And I got to tell you guys something. Yesterday, second week in a row, it's called about Skinwalker Ranch. We've been there, ladies and gentlemen. And it was bought by some gazillionaire for the second time. Bigelow had it for a while, and now this other Mormon guy in Utah has it, and they're having all these strange incidents. Pretty good show. Get a chance to watch it. It's on History Channel, at least on the West Coast, folks. And it comes on at 10 o'clock, and it's called The Skinwalker Ranch something or another. But just Google it, and you'll find it. Good show. it keeps you riveted for a while. It's not like the that Oak Island crap that's been running for 7 years, 8, 10 years, whatever the hell it is, and they haven't found nothing but logs. But nevertheless, that's a hell of a show, and Yamada's Gold is coming back out on the 28th on the same channel, and I was riveted to that, and I think we're going to have a big announcement about that. They found a cavern of gold from floor to ceiling, just packed of bars, and I think somebody has finally found it, but they're on the down low because they don't want anybody, especially where they're at over there in the Philippines, all those people in the hills and everything coming out and stealing from them. But it's going to be big. But anyhow, I've got your texts, I got your emails, and I got all the other electronic media coming at me that, hey, Tom, is there any chance, can we go on out on expedition right now, get out there amongst the woods and the animals and getting things going? Let me tell you what's going on. There's not a day that goes by that I don't get anywhere from 6 to 12, depending on which day of the week it is, of sightings. And at least once a week from some municipality, i.e. transportation departments around the country, and where they're seeing things, they're capturing it on their own trail cameras and the whole nine yards, the ones that are that they set up in the outside the cities. It's pretty amazing stuff. And I know you guys, you're going stir crazy. I know that you're getting cabin fever. You know, we just got to stick this thing out. And let me tell you something. This country is not going to be like it was before. So remember it. Take pictures of it. Record it. Those were the days. Those were the days, my friend. Remember that song? Well, guess what? Those days are gone. This, take heed and the warnings that we're going through right now, because it hasn't stopped and it will not stop. If this one gets over in June, July, or August, get ready for another development coming down the pike in October. You heard it, folks, first from me, okay? And it's going to have the same regime all over again, because the trillions of dollars that this government is putting into this thing, and every state is spending millions of hundreds of millions of dollars, trust me, there'll be another epidemic, and there'll be more holding in place. And we're going to have the face masks on and distancing and all that. And I guess it's good. We're going to learn a lesson from this. How good, I don't know. And I'm going to tell you something else. Got a surprise for all you cats. Have some people on tonight that are dear to my heart. I got Bruce Schilt from Montana, Browning, with the Blackfeet Indians, which I owe him a debt of gratitude. He's one of my first in the first movie, Bigfoot Lives. Also have AK. AK was the sergeant of the police department of the Indians up there at the White Mountain Apaches. And his father-in-law was the chief. Great, great guy. I got them on tonight, I think. And I've got the first guest who 12 years ago was on expedition with me. And we were out there in the, with the Choctaw Reservation in Mississippi, in Philadelphia, Mississippi. Can you imagine that, folks? Philadelphia, Mississippi. You say Philadelphia and automatically you think it's in PA. Just like you say Paris is in France, but it's in Texas, where we had a big concentration of these creatures. This guy that I'm going to bring on first from down there, and he's out there in Hardy, Arkansas. That's where he lives. And we've been out to his spread. He's on the river. He's been so gracious to us, so humble to us. His hospitality never stopped for me and about 8 of our crew. We were out there chasing the creature, and which in the last couple of years, he's seen it up close and personal, and he's going to get to all of that. But he's got something, folks, that we all need. Yeah, And this is what he's got. He's got a thing called hypochlorous acid. But this is the kind of stuff that harnesses nature's germ killer. And this is the one that, you know, it's viral pathogens. It kills the coronavirus. EPA came out with it just yesterday that this stuff kills the coronavirus. And his guy that he works with is a Dr. Donald Sanders. He's an MD, PhD, pharmacology and ophthalmologist. One hell of a dude. Without any further ado, I'm going to bring Jimmy Dorson from Hardy, Arkansas, out. You there, Jimmy?
Hey, Tom, how are you?
Well, if I felt any better, I'd have to see a doctor. I'm trying to get out of the cobwebs and the clouds of all this craziness, but you have made me such a wonderful offer with all of my people around the globe for this new company that you got, Vibrant Zoo, that about this hypochlorous acid. Why don't you tell my audience around the globe what you got for us all and what this stuff can do for us all? And they're ready to ship, drop ship tomorrow, I understand.
Yeah, we can drop ship anywhere. I work with a company that's in, we're in medical sales, and we primarily deal with optometrists and ophthalmologists. An ophthalmologist is an MD or an eye surgeon, and an optometrist is the guy who fits you for contacts, lenses, and glasses, and so forth. Both are doctors, but one is a medical doctor, and the other is a doctor of optometry. Nonetheless, we only deal typically with optometrists and ophthalmologists with our product line. We have a very large distribution chain and system throughout the U.S., about 22,000 optometrist offices across the country. We're moving into Canada very soon. They're building a $25 million distribution center in Canada. And as soon as our partner company moves into Canada, so do we. So we'll have the whole North American continent at that point. And this particular product is used in eye surgery to wash surgical wounds, and we also use it in with our company license for the use of it for meibomian gland dysfunction or dry eye. You simply spray it on your eyes twice a day, and it cures dry eye. So, for example, dry eye is a result of allergies or medications or meibomian gland dysfunction, which means that basically the glands that are in your lower lid do not emit the oil that mixes with a tear to make your ocular surface slick where your eyelid will glide over it smoothly. So it feels like you've got sandpaper in your eyes or they're irritated, and that's what dry eye is. And it's also a result of lower blink rates from looking at screens all day. You know, we look at our phones all day, we look at computers all day, and we don't blink as often, and so it also creates dry eyes. So it's a huge problem for patients, and especially for people to wear contact lenses, which now you're getting down to the money part of the business, right? Because eye doctors sell contact lenses to their patients, and there's about a 40% fallout in contact lens wear from dry eye. People just can't wear them anymore because the contacts stick literally to their eyeball or to their ocular surface. So this product is very important to the marketplace. It's new. It's never been done before. It works very, very well. And that's our primary market. And, of course, because of the coronavirus, there's not an optical shop in the country that's going to stick their face in a patient's face and do an eye exam right now. And like Tom said, this is probably going to go on through July, to be honest. I don't believe the peak on this coronavirus is going to be anywhere near in the next 30 or 40 days. I think it's probably going to be about July, but I hope I'm wrong. But business planning wise, we have to look at things that way. And we have a very large surplus of hypochlorous acid bottled in 3.5 ounce bottles available that we can sell as a hand sanitizer as well as to clean surgical wounds or whatever. Now I'm going to tell you about hypochlorous acid real quick. Hypochlorous acid is a kind of in the chlorine family. It's kind of made that way, but it's not chlorine. It's not bleach. is completely inert to the human body. Your body makes hypochlorous acid, and it's 70 times stronger than bleach. There's something that they use a measurement system to measure antimicrobials, and that measurement system is called the log rate. It's spelled like log, L-O-G, but it's called log, L-O-G, log rate. So, for example, bleach, and it's on a scale of 1 to 10, by the way, 1 being the lowest and 10 being the highest. So bleach, for example, is a log rate of 4, and hypochlorous acid is a log rate of 7. In other words, it's a million times faster and more effective than bleach in killing a pathogen or a microbe. And so we have about 2,000, 2,500 bottles or so sitting on pallets in our office in Chicago, and it's one of the best hand sanitizers in the world. Most of the non-alcohol sanitizers that are out there, if you can get them, have a little bit of hypochlorous acid in. Our product is a prescription level designed to be sprayed in the eyes, and it's stronger. It's about Tom brought up one of the other hypochlorous ocular products today, and ours has 140% more hypochlorous acid in it than the other product he mentioned. And so it's very strong, and each pump or each bottle has about 720 pumps in it. We designed it to last 3 months with a patient spraying their eyes twice a day. So it's actually engineered out to have 720 pumps in it. So
Jimmy, hold on. Let me, Jim, time out. I understand that my listeners around the globe understand also. All right, so you're talking about hypochlorous acid versus alcohol, okay? Now, apparently, everybody's saying they have to have, if you can get sanitizer, hand sanitizer anywhere, and I found one place that they said, okay, we got a small shipment in today, and you're allowed to have one bottle per person, and they're charging for that one little bottle that's no bigger than a cigarette lighter, $7.89 a piece. Okay, I don't know if it's an ounce or 2 ounces or whatever. I have no clue. I'm not into measurements of liquid. But I'll tell you this. It says 62% alcohol. Then I notice when you have it on your hand, and yeah, it has a pretty smell, lemon. But then in about 10, 15 minutes, it makes your hands dry. What makes your product different than the ones like Purell and all the others that are on the market, if anybody can get them?
It's ionized water. When you spray it on your hands, it goes on clean. You rub your hands together. It dries in less than a minute. There's no film, no grit, no alcohol. It doesn't dry out your skin at all.
Okay, so my question to you is, I'm seeing one right now on an email I just got. Hey, Tom, if is this stuff poisoning if somebody happened to lick it or, you know, lick their hands after they had it on? Is it poisonous or what?
No, your body makes it. You actually have hypochlorous acid in your body right now.
Okay, so answer the question.
No, you could drink it. It wouldn't taste very good, but it wouldn't hurt you.
Okay, so it's like biodegradable, and it's not harmful to your health.
We spray it in your eyes.
Okay, all right. So here's the other thing that I heard you say. Normally, you would have to get a prescription from a doctor, a script, to get this product. Is that correct?
Yes, we only sell it through eye care professionals, through an optometrist or an ophthalmologist's office.
All right, so if I'm understanding you right, it's for a small period, a window here, small period of time that you're going to allow this shipment that you have in Chicago made available to the Bigfoot listenership here tonight. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Well, I want to, first of all, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim's going to tell us about encounters most recently and then what he experienced with us when we went on expedition. But can you tell me, tell our listeners around the globe, where they can get this product and how soon they could get it?
Well, I guess the easiest thing would be to either email me at jim@vibrantview.com. That's Jim, just my first name, at VibrantView, V-I-B-R-A-N-T, View, V-U-E, VibrantView.com.
Okay. And can they call you? Or would you rather have them just email? Jim? Hello, Jim?
Yes.
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Are you on speaker, Jim?
I am.
Okay. Maybe can you cut off the speaker and go direct, please?
Is that better?
Oh, my God. 127% better. Okay.
Okay,
so
great.
What are you saying, ladies and gentlemen? Jim@vibrantview.com. That's V-I-B-R-A-N-T. View, V-U-E.com. Jim@vibrantview.com. And you got any questions? You want to order this from him? I can't wait. I got a case today, and he says he's going to airlift it to me in two business days. So we'll see what happens, and we'll talk about it next week. But you're a lifesaver, dude. Believe me. And
well,
he's
Dr. Sanders
special,
called me about this.
Anywhere
said,
else,
Jim? We've got pallets of this sitting here. And people are dying out there in the world because they can't keep their hands clean. They can't keep their hands out of their face, out of their eyes, out of their nose. See, this virus lives on metal surfaces for 14 days. So 14 days after an infected person touches a doorknob or a handle or anything else, you can still be infected. And so people need to use hand sanitizers. It's been going to be going on for a long time. This isn't going to be just a couple of weeks and we're done.
And I totally agree with you there. I really do. Okay? So, all right. And thank you for that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Jim at Vibrant View, V-I-B-R-A-N-T, View, V-U-E.com. All right? Any questions you have? And he'll get right back to you. You want to order from him? Find out the whole nine yards on it. Just give him an email, and he'll answer all the questions you have. All right. So now, here's what I want you to do, Jim. Whoever's got their phone on speaker, we can hear the sirens in the back. Please, you know, cut it off and give us that celerity here so that we can all hear each other. Thank you. All right, so tell everybody how we got acquainted 12 years ago and bring us up to date on your latest encounters. And then we'll go back to the time we were in the Choctaw Reservation out there in Mississippi, which to me was one of the best we've ever had, and then up in Vermont. You got the stage.
All right. Happy to. Well, I used to live in the Chicago area, and I was winter time and boring, and you can't really go outside, snow on the ground and so forth. And I was watching Netflix one day, and I was bored, and I came across one of your movies, Tom. And I think it was the first one.
Bigfoot Lives.
Bigfoot Lives. And I couldn't recall the name of it there for a minute. Nonetheless, I watched it, and I was so enthralled with it because I started thinking back about all the things that had happened to me and the other encounters that I'd heard other people around me had had. And I decided to send you an email just on a whim just to see if you'd reply to the email. And about 5 minutes later, you called me. And we've been friends ever since.
Yeah, you have.
And that's the truth. And and I've just had such a great time with you. You're so generous and kind and honest, and I've just always had great experiences with you, and we've always had a lot of fun and met a lot of nice people. We've just really had a great time. And we the first time we went somewhere was the expedition in Vermont, and that was a long road trip. There were a lot of people, and we drove. You picked me up at Chicago, and we drove all the way to Vermont and back. And it was a long haul. There was no question about that. We can come back to that in a little bit. And then you guys came down here a couple of times, and we did some expeditions down here. We also did some in Mississippi, and then you
okay,
sent
now
me
that
out on some
one. Hold on. That's the one that's dearest and most close to my heart. Philadelphia, Mississippi, the Choctaw Reservation, ladies and gentlemen. Do you remember the story?
It was incredible.
It was more than incredible. I'll start it off, okay?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we were called in there by one of the council people, Theron. And he said, Tom Biscardi, you and your team need to get down here. We're having a lot of sightings, and they're coming down into town. One thing led to another. We got out there. House, where his mother lived, rural area. These creatures were coming around all the time. So as we went down to see her, take her statement, they're saying, no, it was over here. So as we're driving away, I tell everybody, pull the rigs over onto the right. I have an intuition that is just incredible when it comes to these creatures, ladies and gentlemen. And I smelled something. I don't know what it was, and something told me, pull off and go into these woods to the right. Well, there was about four or five of us that did this. And we're going down. We had to come off the road into a little valley, a little gully. And then we started going out to a little valley, and then it started to rise. And I told this gentleman right here, I said, Jimmy, I said, that cluster of trees up there towards the right, check it out. And when you did, what did you yell down?
Well, I climbed up the hill, and I found a lair. I found it looked like a fort, but they made it out. It was made out of pine trees that were about a foot and a half, foot in circumference. They were huge, and it laid them out in a big triangle, and it was a blind. It was the darndest thing I've ever seen.
It was, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. I've seen lairs before, but nothing like to this extent. These trees and limbs.
They had taken deciduous limbs and conifers, you know, pines, and wove them together in
a
blind.
That's the thing that blew me away. Yeah. So here's the thing that really blew me away. So on the reservation, they have their own police force, okay? Sovereign cities, ladies and gentlemen. So the sergeant comes out with two squad cars, and they come in to see where we're at and what we're doing. And I says, well, you know, we'd like for you to stick. No way in hell, they said to me. No chance. There's a lot of action going on here. We don't want to be a part of any of this thing because we want to stay alive. You remember that, Jim?
Oh, yeah. They were already scared of them. They'd already seen them.
Yep.
Game and fish had.
So that night, ladies and gentlemen, we set up our trail trip cameras and our surveillance. We baited everything, got our human smell away and everything. What happened the next day, Jim?
Well, we went back down there and got the game cameras. You're going to have to help me on the rest of it, because I remember.
Okay.
And Bill Coffey.
Bill Coffey took the card out, SIM card out of the thing, and brings it out onto his computer.
That day,
ladies and gentlemen, was an epiphany in that man's life. And I'm going to tell you the reason why. He sees the shadow of a huge, huge hominid creature, biped, hairy as hell. Okay, because where the camera was, it was up 7.5, 8 feet. This thing was at least 2 feet higher than the camera. Its shadow showed a head, shoulders, huge shoulders, and arms. Well, Bill Coffey is just like so many people in this Bigfoot world, ladies and gentlemen, that after you get to see one of these creatures, it does something to you. You automatically, it's a giant magnet, and it draws you into the phenomenon. He went a little crazy, if you ask me. And at that point in time, I called in one of my best trackers in the world, which you people all know him. It's from Arkansas, too, Rocky. Rocky, are you on tonight?
Yes, sir, I am.
Do you remember the incident?
Absolutely do.
Why don't you tell our audience out there what happened when you and he were there by yourselves?
Well, when I went down there with, I met Bill Coffey down there, and I actually had my vehicle parked in Theron's mother's backyard, and I spent, I don't know what, a week, I guess, walking all through those woods around there at night. And Bill was always saying, well, you know, I've got a room. I told him, no, I can sleep out here in my truck if I get tired. Well, he didn't spend any time out with me. He was, let's say, really nervous about being in the out in the woods too long after dark. I went to when I got there, he took me, and we did see the lair, in fact, and we set up more game cameras. But by the time I got there, the police, the forestry department, whole bunch of people had been down through there. It looked like, you know, well, there's no way to pick up any tracks at that time, other than, you know, boot prints. But anyhow, we stayed there for several days, and Bill was okay for a while, and then the one night, I was still out in the woods stomping around, and Bill met up with some guy there at the casino when he was eating supper. The guy told him that it might be advisable if me and him left the area.
But, so they were coming to arrest you guys the next day.
Yep.
And that's the call that I had received. I'll pick it up from here, Rocky, if you don't mind.
All right.
Bill Coffey, and he was fractious, ladies and gentlemen. He says, you know, I'm going to leave because I know they're going to arrest us, because this was the guy that owned the property next to Theron. And unless you were there with an indigenous person, and they were with you 24/7 while you're on their properties with guns, you were okay.
We had to have elders with us, remember? We couldn't just have an indigenous. We had to have an elder with us.
Yeah, that's exactly true. So, but then we got the idea because the newspaper and the TV channel came out, and they recorded all this stuff. And it's out there on Google or wherever the hell it's at, and it's probably on our website somewhere. And I think it's even in our movies, one of the movies. And ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. This was probably one of the best places that we got evidence ever. Now, let me tell you what happened to Bill Coffey. Bill Coffey, after that situation, bought himself a trailer, bought himself a new rig, bought himself a ton of guns and ammunition, and he picked my brain on what to do if he did get one and where to bring it and what to do with it. Well, he went off the grid, and he didn't care about nothing else but one thing. That was to get one of these creatures and bring it back and prove to the world that it exists. I have not talked to Bill Coffey in, I don't know, 6 years, 7 years, since that situation. It changed his life, as it does in so many people's minds, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what I keep telling them all. Welcome to the world of Sasquatch. There's stuff out there that's a bewilderment, ladies and gentlemen. And this creature tells the story on and on and on. And they all say, well, gee, Thomas Garner, his crew's going to get it. I wish that was the case, ladies and gentlemen, but I've been doing it for many years and only had 7 encounters. Will I continue on doing what I'm doing? You bet. And the key to it is life still goes on. You know, I got to tell you, it's been a hoot thus far because I haven't talked to you, Jimmy, in a bunch of years, and you're talking about stuff that's happened and it's been a part of our lives. What we're going to do now is we're going to switch over. And thank you, Jim. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, that's Jim at VibrantVue.com. Wait a minute, you're right. In the last 2 years, why don't you tell everybody what happened to you, that what you saw up close and personal, you and your son?
Oh, okay. Yeah, we were on December 26, 2017, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was driving home less than a mile, right at a mile, maybe a little less from my house. And bright, sunshiny day. I'd been hearing some knocks and some rock clacking around my house, actually, in bright sunlight during the day, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. It was the weirdest thing. I mean, I expected, you know, to hear that stuff at night, but not during the middle of the day. I've been hearing stuff like that for a week or two. And then as I was driving home, I went to the store. It was the day after Christmas, December 26th. And as I was just coming home from the store, a creature ran across the road in front of me. And Tom, I don't know if you'll remember, but there's a big power substation up at a crossroads. And
sure
it was
do.
Right up against the fence at that substation. And then it ran across the gravel road in front of me. And the other side of the road was cleared for another 30 yards into a cedar glade. And it dove across the road and kept going into that cedar glade. But it was so fast. You've heard people say, if I would have blinked, I would have missed it. Literally, if I would have blinked, I would have missed it. And I'm going to say it went 30, maybe 40 yards total. But it was so big and so fast, I've never seen anything like it. I'm not going to, you know, you hear people say they're supernatural, this, that, or the other. I think their movements are so quick, they seem like that they are. But it's just incredibly fast. I just can't believe anything could be that fast. But it was. And it was black as ink. Ran right across the road in front of me. And then last summer, my son works at the local golf course here. He works on the maintenance crew, and I picked him up from work, and I was bringing him home. And on the other ridge from that valley, that's on one side of the ridge. There's a creek in the bottom of the valley, and then you come up on the other ridge across the other way as you're coming in on the road, about a mile back the other way. I was coming down that side of the hill, back toward the house, same direction but further back down the road. And one walked across the road in front of Jack and I on the way home. We only caught his back, his hind legs. Or, you know, he was on four, but kind of crouched over. You know, when they run, they kind of lean forward, and they'll use their front arms to kind of guide them as they go. But they get low and they move quick, and we just saw it just as it got across the road and off into the woods. and that was last summer. So on both sides of I call that the Gut Creek Valley. On both sides of that valley, I've had a sighting in the last, 2017 to now, 3 years.
Amazing. Just amazing. Listen, brother.
I mean, a mile from my house, you and I go to Mississippi, we go to Vermont, we go everywhere, South Arkansas, expeditions everywhere, and I see them finally a mile from my house.
Unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
It saved me a lot of driving if I would have known.
I got you loud and clear. Ladies and gentlemen, that's my good buddy Jim, and he's at Jim at Vibrant, V-I-B-R-A-N-T, VUE.com. Get some of that stuff, man. You don't have to worry about cleansing your hands, and stuff kills this coronavirus. Jimmy, just mute yourself out, and thanks for coming on the show, good buddy.
You bet. Good to see you, or good to talk to you all, and I hope you have a great day. And everybody be safe. This virus is really serious, and I want you to be safe. It's you got to take this seriously.
Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate
it. You bet.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get up there to Montana, to Browning, actually. It's about 6 miles outside of Browning, to where it all started for me. My God, I guess it was about 16 years ago up in Montana. If you own Bigfoot Lives, if you want to have some reference, the guy we're going to be talking to is Bruce Schilt. He's a Blackfeet Indian up there, and he's become a brother to me, him and his whole family. They're just wonderful people. Their hospitality is beyond compare. Bruce, are you out there, bro?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, man. How are you?
Well, I'm terrific.
Is it snowing up there?
No, it quit day before yesterday.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
What's the temperature there right now?
Oh, it must be in the 30s.
Oh, hell, you got your bathing suit out?
Yeah, it's warm.
Unbelievable. So, tell me what's going on. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the guy that he was up there at a lake. And you'll see it in the Bigfoot Lives. He brought his son, Little Bear, and his daughter, Tony, out there during the, I guess it was snowing or something, right?
No, it was. It wasn't snowing when we were there. It was. It was nice. Oh. And
so tell everybody that don't know the story, Bruce. Tell them how we met, how we got together, and how you first encountered these prints.
Okay. Well, it was right around Christmas, and we were out on the lake. Kids were skiing around and throwing rocks and, you know, playing on the lake. And it was just getting dark, and so we was going to go home. And Tony Ray, my little girl, she said, "Dad, come look at these big footprints." I thought they was just washed-out bear tracks or something, so I went over there, and sure enough, there they were, great big old footprints, about, I think I measured 18 by 8 1/4 or something like that, and I took some Polaroid pictures of them, and I was showing people around town, and they got into the newspaper, and I guess that's where you heard about it, and then you called me and asked to come up and check it out, and you and your team came up and checked it out, and they were genuine, and from there we just kind of started, you know, getting acquainted and sharing different stories about different people, and you know, the eye doctor that was just on, he was talking about the Bigfoot was only about a mile from his house. Well, my daughter and my nephew, they seen 4 Bigfoots about less than a mile from our house, and right down the road, maybe 2 or 3 miles over to Hiram's, where you retrieve that leg that's in the movie. Well, Bigfoots are, they travel down that little valley by the creek there. And I just learned another story just this winter about Bigfoot lair that's right up from Hiram's there, just across the highway up that little gravel road, about maybe a mile, or not even a mile, maybe a half a mile from Hiram's there. There's a lair that this guy, my friend told me about. He's going to take me up there this summer. But, you know, them Bigfoot, just before Christmas, I got some Bigfoot tracks, right? About less than a mile from the house here. And I took some pictures of those Bigfoot tracks. And then down towards Hiram's that way, there was a Bigfoot spotted running across the road right past the house here. And up in the mountains there, a few years ago, we run into a Bigfoot lair up there. And you were telling me that we thought it was a bear den, and it had, you know, leaves and grass and you know, pine boughs and stuff in on the floor, and there was a bunch of these rosehip berries in there, and we just thought it was a bear den, and so we got out of there because it was stink. And when we were talking to you, you said that was a Bigfoot lair. So, you know, we didn't know nothing about Bigfoot. I mean, back then, we weren't looking for him or nothing. And your friend, the eye doctor, he was saying, you know, that Bigfoots were a spirit or something. But
and they move very quickly, he talked about.
Yeah. Yeah, they're supernatural. And you know, they're a supernatural spirit, you know, with flesh. And there's two types of spirits. There's a Holy Spirit, and the other one is an evil spirit. And if it's not a Holy Spirit, then you know what it is. And so that's the reason I don't hunt them anymore. I prayed about it, and I got a clear answer that, you know, not to mess with them. You know, let somebody else mess with them.
No, and the elders all think the same way. So let me ask you a question. They're saying that the population of Browning is 1,026 people. Pretty close?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, think about that. 1,026 people, population of this town. How far are you out of town where your place is?
12 miles.
12 miles, okay.
Yeah.
People, you have no clue how where he's at. We do. We've been there many times. He's been the most hospitable person. And the guy that he's talking about, Hiram, ladies and gentlemen, he's the pastor of one of the churches there. They had seen one of these creatures. They are also, him, his wife, and his daughter, when they were having breakfast, down below, there was a herd of cows. And one of these creatures came out. And that's how we got through, of course, Bruce. And we got out there to talk to him, and we used that in our movie. And then his dog one day went down to one of the rivers or out in the brush and comes back with this foot and leg, which was, is it a Bigfoot leg and foot? Well, we don't know, but you'll see it in the movie, Bigfoot Lives, because they took it to the, where was that, where the college is?
Oh, I don't, I don't know, one of the Great Falls or...
Great Falls, that's where it was.
Yeah.
And, of course, they never returned it to them, and they went hush-hush about it all. Now, you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, this is the area up here where they're still finding dinosaurs, okay, in which we had the rights to one of them. And it was pretty incredible. They're pretty incredible. Is your chairman, Earl, what's his name?
Earl Olperson.
Yeah, Earl Olperson. Is he still the chief?
Yeah. He's
How
still
old is
alive
he?
And he's still well and doing the same thing he's been.
How old is he?
I got no idea. He must be close to 100, though.
Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, I used to go and have coffee and breakfast with him in that, what was that place right there by Puggies, across the street there, the way, where we used to go and have breakfast?
Junction Driving, I believe. That's Junction. One of the places, and the casino.
Yeah, no, Junction Driving, because casino wasn't there yet when we were there. Do you remember how many years ago this was?
I don't know.
It's been a long time, Bruce. A long time. It's been like 18 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, I've eaten a lot of food in a lot of places all around the world. His wife, Donna, boy, can she make a stew. And can she make that fry bread? Oh, God. And every time the boys were up there, they were so hospitable. We used to have dinners there and other places there in town and everything. And, of course, you know, we went up there and we went into partnership for half a town. What was the town up there where we bought? What was the name of it?
East Glacier.
East Glacier Park. There you go.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, we were there when the winds are so furious that it takes the diesel train and blew it off the tracks. And I was shocked. I says, are you serious? I thought they were just kidding, right? Well, they weren't kidding, ladies and gentlemen. That's how bad the wind is there. The snow falls where the motels were, we were in partnership with. The roof is up about 12 feet, and the snow was 10 feet. They used to have to wait to get the bulldozers in there to move the snow so the guests from the night before could get out. Here's a place. How far is Cutbank from you?
It's 32 miles, I think.
Okay. 32 miles from where they live, ladies and gentlemen, is the coldest place in America. Don't believe me. Go ask Googie. Google will tell you. It's the coldest place in America, and it's 32 miles from where they are. How far are you from the Canadian border?
We must be about 30 or 40 miles.
Get the drift now, ladies and gentlemen. They're real close, and I'll tell you what, these people are one of the most phenomenal people. And I'll go on record and saying that till these eyes of this old Bigfoot hunter close, I will have a brother and a family up there in Browning until those days come. Because you become a brother to me and my guys. And let me tell you, there's not a week that goes by that we don't talk about you, brother. You have no idea. You become part of our family.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart from all these years and what you've gone through. And, ladies and gentlemen, it's not easy for them. You still got a brood of all those dogs?
Oh, yeah. You want to hear them bark? We had to get in the bedroom so them dogs wouldn't start barking and cut us off. We've got seven dogs.
Oh, seven dogs, okay.
Only.
I got you. You know, I got to tell you, you do my heart good, brother. You really do. Hey, how are you guys weathering the storm up there with the coronavirus. Anybody got any of that up there?
I heard of one that worked at the hospital in Browning is sick with it. Just one on the reservation.
Hey, by the way, tell everybody the body they found and the condition it was in just recently up there.
Oh, they, it was kind of like them gory shows on TV where they cut the bodies up. They took the head and hands off of a body and dumped it out in the country by a creek, and it was found, and now they're, I think they got a few guys in custody or questioning or something about the body, but we haven't heard anything else. We haven't heard that who it was or anything, but yeah, they mutilated it.
Wow. It's amazing. Totally amazing. Bruce, do me a favor. Kiss the kids. Give Donna a big hug for me.
Okay.
And you know what? Till tomorrow, my friend. We'll be together someday again.
All right. God bless. Take
God
care.
Bless. God bless you, too. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, he's like a brother to me. He's up there in outside of Browning, Montana. Nobody would know about that place if it wasn't for him and all the goings-on and all the Bigfoot sightings up there. It's in our movie, Bigfoot Lives. I got to tell you, it's been something that I'll never forget. And I learned about the sovereign nations. That was one of the first ones. You know, it's the Blackfeet, it's the Apache, it was the Choctaw, it was the Ojibwe, the Cree, and it goes on and on and on. And you know what? I think I left out AK, the Apaches. Did AK go off or is he on, T3?
AK never made it.
He's out? Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, you know, we still got a couple of minutes, ladies and gentlemen. And my co-host, Rocky. Rocky, you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you weathering this storm, son?
Oh, I go to work, and we keep the door shut, pass them through the little window, and then I go to the woods.
So you've been out there hunting, have you?
I've been out there hunting.
Well, I don't have to know if you're successful because I know the answer to it. But what's the weather been like out there by you down in Arkansas?
It's been good for a change. Of course, it's Arkansas, so it's going to change again within the next day or two. But we've had a lot of rain, but other than that, we've had some cool nights. All is well.
That's great. How's the Swede doing?
He's doing good. If we could get him to settle down for a little while and, you know, rest, but that's not...
Well, he's probably going nuts, man. If anybody's got cabin fever, it sure as hell is. He's like a bull in a china shop.
Oh, hell, he's working. He's working.
You're kidding.
I mean, no, he gets up every morning and he walks, and then he goes to the house, and he works from... Well, he gets up about 5 o'clock, and then he'll work till about 8 o'clock. It's bedtime. But
wow.
No, he's the day after he got out of the hospital, I called him, and he was at work. Well, at the time, he was changing the starter on his tractor.
Jesus, what's next? You guys totally amaze me. Ladies and gentlemen, as the tick-tock tick goes on the clock, as you could tell, the hour just goes poof. We're going to pay a few bills. We're going to go out with a commercial. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations. Till next time.
Good night, everybody.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi.